history may or may not repeat itself, but it does have cycles. And Kirby Anderson declares how these cycles greatly impact your life. Now, on Probe.
Are there cycles in history? Yes, even though there is a linear trajectory in history, there are generational cycles we can observe. No doubt you've heard the phrase, hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times. Or you may have heard history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And you may have heard the phrase, the fourth turning, that predicts a crisis at the end of a fourfold cycle. We're going to be looking at four of the most often quoted cycles: a political-cultural cycle, a generational cycle, a technological cycle, and a financial cycle. Today, we take for granted democracy, capitalism, and the Industrial Revolution. These political, economic, and technological realities were not always in our world, but came about because of revolutions. One of the most significant revolutions took place 250 years ago. Andrew Wilson talks about this in his book, Remaking the World. He describes 1776 as a year that witnessed seven transformations taking place: globalization, the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, the Great Enrichment, the American Revolution, the rise of post-Christianity, and the dawn of Romanticism. Now, some of the events in 1776 we know. That was the year the Declaration of Independence was ratified. It was the year when Adam Smith published The Wealth of Nations in 1776. It was also the year that James Watt's invention of the steam engine that spawned the Industrial Revolution. Both capitalism and the Industrial Revolution led to a significant increase in life expectancy and the rise of social development. This week, as we discuss each of these four cycles, we should remember this interesting fact. All these cycles seem to be converging today. The last time these cycles converged in 1776, the world changed. We are fortunate to live in such a time as this. We should be like the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with knowledge what Israel should do. So what does the future hold? Well, only God knows. As the song goes, He's got the whole world in His hands. We may not know the future, but we can trust in the One who knows the future. I think we are likely headed for a massive change in the future, but it is difficult to predict what political event or economic spark might inflame our world. Therefore, we should all be in prayer for our leaders and prepare ourselves for possible turmoil ahead.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Want to know where we're headed in this next historical cycle? Then get Kirby's free transcript, Historical Cycles, at probe.org. And join us next time here on Probe.
This week we're looking at four important historical cycles. Today I would like to look at what appears to be about an 80-year political-cultural cycle that actually has an average of about 84 years. You go back to 1848, and you have Karl Marx publishing the Communist Manifesto and other works. The political and economic impact of his Marxist perspective swept through Europe, changed the political structure of many countries, and is still an influence today. This idea not only introduced a new way of viewing the world, but was also responsible for removing the monarchy from most nation states. Another important political change happened 84 years later in the 1930s. In Europe, you have the rise of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. In this country, you have the election of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who signed into law a significant number of New Deal programs that vastly expanded the scope of government and are influential in our lives today. It is worth remembering that the federal government wasn't as large as it is today. Roosevelt was responsible for the creation of so many of the alphabet soup of programs and federal agencies. The following decades were an era of big government. If you add another 84 years, you come to 2016. In Europe, you have the political battle known as Brexit and the beginning of some populist uprisings. In this country, you have the rise of populism and a reaction to the size and scope of big government. This is best illustrated by the election of Donald Trump. It was also a time of turmoil. In Europe, we have the farmer protest in the Netherlands and the Yellow Jacket protest in France. In the U.S., we have the BLM protest and the Antifa protest. Of course, there's also a longer cycle that describes the rise and fall of empires. General John Glubb noticed that most empires last about 250 years. If you apply that to U.S., you find that we're entering to the end of that cycle. One key date is 1776. That not only marks the beginning of the nation with the Declaration of Independence, but the promotion of capitalism with Adam Smith and the publication of The Wealth of Nations. By the way, if you go back 250 years before that, you come to the Protestant Reformation that began when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door. We are fortunate to live in such a time as this. We should be like the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with knowledge what Israel should do. What does the future hold? It appears we are headed for a massive change in the future. This week we're looking at four important historical cycles. Today we will look at a generational cycle. More than a quarter century ago, William Strauss and Neil Howe wrote their best-selling book, The Fourth Turning, an American Prophecy. In it they argued that history could be understood as coming in turnings, which have cycles of four. Each cycle spans a length longer than human life, roughly 80 to 100 years. That unit of time was what ancients called a seculum, and these four turnings of the seculum comprise the historic rhythms of growth, maturation, entropy, and destruction. The first turning is a high, an upbeat era of strengthening institutions and weakening individualism. That is when the new civic order develops and the old values decay. The second turning is an awakening, which is a passionate era of spiritual upheaval. That is when the civic order comes under attack from new values. The third turning is an unraveling, which is a downcast era of strengthening individualism and weakening institutions. This is when the old civic order decays and new values develop. And the fourth turning is a crisis, which is a decisive era of secular upheaval. The values regime propels the replacement of the old civic order with a new one. The authors predicted that political, economic, and social upheavals would rattle the United States in and around the 2020s. The 2008 economic crisis and the changes just described from 2016 seem to support the predictions made in the book. Last year, Neil Howe wrote, "The Fourth Turning is Here." The title tells it all. We are in a crisis illustrated by a government that does not seem to function. Low public trust in just about any institution, political polarization, moral and legal chaos, and the collapse of families. He reminds us of the Abraham Lincoln quote that a house divided against itself cannot stand, and that a government will become all one thing or all another. He also reminds us of another fourth turning crisis in America, like World War II, the Civil War, and the American Revolution. You know, we are fortunate to live in such a time as this. We should be like the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. What does the future hold? It appears that we are likely headed for a massive change in the future. This week we're looking at four important historical cycles. Today we will look at a technological cycle. There appears to be about a 50-year technological cycle in which we see important technological revolutions. In the late 18th century, we saw the beginnings of what today we refer to as the Industrial Revolution. Most people lived on farms. This revolution brought people out of the farms into the cities and factories. 50 years later was the age of steam and railways that changed the world significantly. Up until that time, we had manpower and horsepower. Trains that run on steam and steamships changed the world in significant ways. Now people could move faster and carry heavier loads over a longer distance. 50 years after that, we had steel and electricity. Steel was important in buildings. Brick buildings can only be a few stories high. Steel allowed designers to create skyscrapers and to build bridges over longer and larger sections of water. Electricity literally lit up the dark sky and provided numerous conveniences we take for granted today. 50 years after that, we had oil, automobiles, and a revolution in mass production. Automobiles provided people with the ability to go wherever they wanted without having to walk, ride a horse, or catch a train. Advances in mass production enhanced the Industrial Revolution and made possible the vast array of products available to us today. In the 1970s, we came into the age of information and telecommunications. This came with the development of the transistor and then the microchip. Our digital world developed because of these innovations. Today, we find ourselves in a world of fast computers, artificial intelligence, and genetic engineering. We have social media, but we also have social media censorship. We have creative graphics, but we also have deep fakes and growing questions about what is real and what is fake. We can genetically treat and cure diseases, but we also can genetically engineer humans. How much of this will be driven by politics and economics? It's worth noting that the latest technological cycle raises questions, but it also coincides with the political cycles and the generational cycle. You know, we're fortunate to live in such a time as this, and we should be like the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel is to do. What does the future hold? It appears that we are headed likely for a massive change in the future. This week, we're looking at four important historical cycles. Today, we'll look at a financial cycle, and you will notice that some of the financial cycles parallel the technological revolutions. America moved from an agricultural society to an industrial society to an information society. If you look at the wealth cycles of nations, you will notice something interesting about which currency was dominant. The financial superpower changes over time, on average about 100 years, and perhaps you've seen a chart that shows something like this. We go from the Portuguese real to the Spanish real to the Dutch guilder to the French franc to the British pound to the U.S. dollar. So where are we today? Well, the U.S. and other countries around the world are experiencing a debt crisis. One significant reason for this is the fact that the dollar is no longer as good as gold. For 5,000 years, money was gold, but protecting it and transporting it was difficult. Banks and nations held the gold and created paper certificates that represented the value. Sometimes the amount of paper currency was not always backed by gold. The greatest problem came in the 20th century. In 1944, the Bretton Woods Conference fixed gold at $35 per ounce. But by 1971, President Nixon closed the gold window, and we've seen over the last 50-plus years that the value of the dollar has continually declined. Also, the possibility of the U.S. dollar remaining the reserve currency in the world is questionable. At the same time, this country and other countries are facing a significant debt crisis. It is easy to spend more when all you need to do is print more money. That leads to inflation and a devaluation of your currency. When faced with a debt crisis, you only have a few options. You can default on the debt, which some nations have done. You can tax the citizens, but there isn't enough wealth in any nation to cover the size of these national debts. You could cut spending, but few politicians would ever consider that option. Instead, most countries, including the U.S., print more money. Unfortunately, that can only last so long. Just look at Weimar, Germany, or Zimbabwe, or Venezuela. You know, we are fortunate to live in such a time as this. We should be like the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with knowledge what Israel should do. What does the future hold? It appears that we are likely headed for a massive change in the future.